Hello and welcome to a new episode of From Beirut. First of all, I'd like to go ahead and welcome my guest today, Mr. Mohammed Abed, political analyst. Welcome, Mr. Mohammed.
Always my pleasure.
Thank you. Well, viewers, we do have a few days to catch up, so let's go ahead and get started. First of all, the Lebanese resistance has proven that if its enemy continues its aggressive actions, it will continue as they have. We saw yesterday around 8 bombings here, air raids in southern Lebanon the night before also, with some claims that they have been using some type of chemical gas or phosphorus gas. In addition to the continued attacks on up in Bikaa and Hirmel and the southern villages of Lebanon, killing more people. The resistance to Lebanon actually did issue a statement yesterday and said that there will be no sense of security within its society. Its record number of statements just yesterday over 20, the day before over 48. Hezbollah issued evacuation orders for northern settlers in Israel. In addition, Lebanese Prime Minister Najib Mikati actually met with the U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken in London. We have to always add on, of course, the latest news that Iran's air defense actually successfully countered an Israeli aggression, with the U.S. warning Tehran of retaliation consequences and saying that the operations was, of course, in their words, self-defense. Last but not least, we have the Yadiyot Ahronot saying that the Mossad chief is to leave for Qatar for captives deal exchange, while, of course, the human tragedy continues to unfold in Gaza. Well, Mr. Mohammed, let's go ahead and get started, as we always do, about here in Lebanon. The Islamic resistance in Lebanon, Hezbollah, issued yesterday an evacuation order yesterday evening. They directed it at Israeli settlers in 25 settlements in northern occupied Palestine, following, as we know, the footsteps of the Israeli occupation forces who had been forcing people to flee their homes in numerous areas in Lebanon. So it's basically the same strategy that they were using. How does it seem that now the tables have been turned?
Yes, but first, if you'd allow me, and to just add one important, I think, point to the points you noted, which is Hochstein's visit to Tel Aviv, actually, which is supposed to take place today. Also another indication, I think, that we'll be talking about later.
Of course.
Yes, as you said, it is something that the resistance is doing, which usually it does not resort to targeting civilians, unless the civilians in our side, on our side, were targeted. This was the case and the product of the confrontations that took place earlier in the year 1993 and the famous 1996 April understanding, which says that there'll be a sort of tit for tat. If you target our civilians, we have the right to target your civilians. And this did curb a lot of the Israeli aggressions against Lebanese civilians during the times of occupation. Now, the Israelis, you see, we always say they are stumbling, and we are not saying that because this is an occupier enemy and so, but if you go to their steps, if you see what they are doing, they are only targeting civilians, they are only destroying buildings, there is no planning, whereas you see each blow that is dealt by the Islamic resistance, Hezbollah, targets, let's say, a military facility. Today we have a near acre manufacturing for military ammunition and industries. So each blow targets something that is meaningful. I mean, not nonsensical, if you will, or just for the mere of revenge or venting your anger because you are not able to achieve anything. I mean, the Israelis are not being able to achieve anything on the ground in South Lebanon.
So there is a reaction. So,
yes, there is a sort of revengeful act in southern suburbs of Beirut. So this is a major difference that needs to be taken into account. But in spite of all the massacres that are being perpetrated in the ranks and amongst the people of the resistance, still it is not resorting to the same methods. And this has to do with the ideology, the Islamic, real Islamic ideology. Here you have to also to sort of do a comparison between the Western version of Islam, which they tried to provide, that is the ISIS, which was supported by the Americans and other Western powers, and the real Islam, which does not target civilians unless it has to do, even if they are occupiers. But you have to clarify to them that they are going to be targeted, that you have to flee these areas or evacuate. So this is on the one hand one important difference in this regard. Plus the implication of all these unmeaningful attacks by the Israelis and aggressions by the Israelis is that they are out of the out of targets. They don't have any more targets that are they know that can harm the resistance. That's why they are trying to hurt the resistance through hurting its people.
Yes. Well, actually, the Zionist media outlets and analysts have actually maintained that the military scene on the northern borders has started to change in favor of Hezbollah, adding that the resistance fighters are showing unprecedented resilience in the face of the enemy troops. As we know, and just remind our viewers, it's becoming very recurrent as we see the helicopters, specifically from the borders here in southern Lebanon, taking their dead, their injured, their wounded from the so-called attempted invasions back to their hospitals in Haifa and etc.
And all this that is being coming out one way or another is in spite of the strict censorship that the military is exercising,
yes,
of course, by orders from the political leadership. So there is a lot of more of what we hear about that is taking place as for the losses of the occupation forces, but still they are trying to maintain a little bit of hiding the real facts in order to maintain the minimum of morale in the ranks of the settlers as a whole, and also the army itself.
Yes.
But everything will appear eventually, and the losses, I think, they cannot be hidden, especially when you're talking about tens on a daily basis. I think yesterday there was a figure of 12 Israeli soldiers killed. But they only recognize, I think, two or three who were killed. So they are trying, but the presence of some influencers, I think, on the social media is just having something leaking one way or another to the general public. Yes.
Exactly. Well, thanks to technology these days, nothing can be hidden.
Yes.
I do want to go from the ground a little to the political field. Mikati yesterday with Blinken, he said what is required first is a real commitment by Israel to a ceasefire, as a previous experience regarding the U.S.-France ceasefire proposal affected everyone's credibility. Do you see at the moment any way of politically solving this war?
Well, if they are going to resort to logic and reason, they need to stop.
Yes.
Because every day more light is being shed on the helplessness of the Israeli army, the army that is supposed to be the invincible army, the army that is supposed the hand of the Western project in our region here, that is supposed to hit wherever it wants, and so now it is not able to advance a few hundred meters in southern Lebanon. It is not able to stop the bombardment. It is not able to achieve any of the goals or objectives of the war that were set by the political leadership, such as having the settlers return to northern occupied Palestine, or to minimize the power of Hezbollah, or to have Gaza under their own control, and weakening Hamas and releasing the captives. So nothing has been achieved. The only thing that was achieved, which has been the case for over 70 years, is that this entity has killed more and more civilians and children, and they are very skillful when it comes to this. So also the fact of this continued image of this entity, which has now become sort of outcasts, by the way, because as you mentioned earlier, thanks to the modern technologies, and especially the social media, nothing is now being controlled strictly by the mainstream media outlets. So now you can publish whatever you want, and it is able for those who really seek the truth to try to look for it and find it. The footage of massacres that used to be hidden by these mainstream outlets is now it's impossible for them to ban from reaching the Western public. And that's why we saw at the beginning, and unfortunately these movements have weakened a little bit, that's why we witnessed a lot of demonstrations in Western countries. They are still there, but they are not gaining momentum as they really should be because of the atrocities that are being perpetrated, for instance, especially in Jabalia in the past
yes.
3 or 4 days. So the truth is not being able to be hidden anymore, in spite of all their efforts and their supporters in the Western world, as for those controlling the media. And so here you have two narratives that have the chance to be published, and they are, most of the world is mocking and having comics and caricatures as for the version of the Israelis narrative, and they are taking the narrative of the Arab and Palestinian and Lebanese side more seriously.
Well, Mr. Mohammed, as you mentioned, the social media, it has been an option for people to show the truth and also to be asking questions. And it was actually brought to my attention after numerous people were asking and who honestly do not understand the situation in Lebanon, specifically the Western viewers. They continue to ask 2 points, and I would love to take a moment just to explain it to them. They keep asking, why has the Lebanese government not closed its airspace, number one? And number two, where are the Lebanese aircraft to defend its land? Could you perhaps briefly explain to our viewers the situation we are actually living in Lebanon?
Yes, for the Americans, basically, now, as we said, the Israelis just want to take actions of revenge and care nothing about the airport or whatever. But sometimes the Americans even interfere in order to save the Israelis from themselves.
Yes.
Now, the Americans know that the destruction of the infrastructure in Lebanon, such as the airport and other important areas, will mean nothing other than having the major power in the country, which is currently the Islamic Resistance, Hezbollah, to control the area in order to rebuild these infrastructures. And of course, Hezbollah has the ability to do so, and it has proven to and done that following in the aftermath of the 2006 war.
Yes.
So that's why the Americans are not interested in having the Lebanese army, which they still dream, and this is wishful thinking, of having a day when it will stand up against Hezbollah. The Lebanese army, they don't want it to be harmed. They don't want infrastructures, basic infrastructures such as the airport, the port, etc. They don't want them to be hurt, because this will drive the country more and more, as they claim, into the hands of Hezbollah. So in general, this is why they need to protect the infrastructures in Lebanon. As for the Blinken's meeting with the Prime Minister, and I don't say this specifically as for the Prime Minister, the Prime Minister is a very successful businessman who has businesses
yes.
all over the world, and the Americans are very clever when it comes to pressuring some official leaders to have this or that statement through threatening them and pressuring them through Arab countries and so. But in general, the Prime Minister's stances have been acceptable, in spite, I'm sure, that a lot of pressure is being exercised on him and on Speaker Birri. They have not, for instance, taken the stances of the opposition that usually takes the stances of Israel, that they have the same demands as the Israelis. For instance, you have the Lebanese forces just demanding the disarming of Hezbollah, just as the Israelis does. I mean, but no, you have this, Prime Minister and other politicians are trying to just, one way or another, to maintain this diplomatic link with the Americans, not to cut off all links and all means of communication. And this could help when it comes to the final phases of the confrontation, when you are about to have understandings as for ending the war. So probably you may say that you can understand what they are doing, understand it in a way to understand what they are doing and for the sake of what.
So just to summarize, Mr. Mohammed, basically the Lebanese government, as we know, it has been backed by the U.S. government. They've basically pressured them not to keep their airspace open, to not retaliate in any way, keep your airplanes actually also planted on the ground, to remain with those interests in the diplomatic ties.
Yes.
Yes. Well, with that, let's go ahead and move over, of course. As we know, the news for the last 2 days has been the Israeli aggression on Iran. As we know, the Iranian government has actually announced that there has been 4 people killed in addition to it. The Iranian's parliament speaker said that Israel's attacks on his country were a failure when compared with Iran's October 1st missile attacks, and promised that Tehran will retaliate. Indeed, from the Iran parliament speaker's statement, I do want to mention in the media, we did see how the Israeli people actually came out against Netanyahu, calling him a coward in the way that the retaliation did take place. Why do you believe this type of retaliation was limited, as we believe?
First, to understand really why they are criticizing, it is basically, I think one of them said this, one of the former officials said that we have lost this chance, this opportunity, yes. Because they had the sort of reason and if you will, the justification to try and hit the nuclear facilities.
It was their chance, as he was mentioning.
And they've lost it. That's why they are very much annoyed. But I think the leadership, the political and military leadership of the Zionist entity, really understand the capabilities of the Islamic Republic more than the public, because they tried to appease the public, not showing through the censorship we are talking about, in order not to scare them off. They did not show them really what the Iranians are capable of when it comes to the rockets and the missiles and all the advanced means. And we've seen just a little example of this during the True Promise number 2,
yes.
Which was able to infiltrate, in spite of all protection and all the defenses that were planted by Israel and by its Western supporters, I mean the American administration and other European governments. In spite of this, they were able to hit, and we saw the rockets just, I mean, you're talking about footage that cannot have lies, and they even arrested the American photographer who took this footage. The rockets were raining, just showering the areas in occupied Palestine. So he did not lose the opportunity, because he was a little bit humane, or not just had an ethical awakening, but no, he knew that such a, if any target, nuclear or oil or important facility was to be targeted, the retaliation was ready to take place within hours, and it will be 10 times stronger than the act itself or the aggression itself. This is something that the those in charge understand it, but those in the opposition may have find it a chance just to criticize the Netanyahu and his gang that are ruling the occupied Palestine. So, and on the one hand, this is what made them the real powers and the real capabilities of Iran, especially when it comes to the deterrence and defenses. Second, the ability and the capabilities when it comes to retaliation.
Well, Iran's president did actually make his statement, saying that enemies of Iran should know that these brave people are standing fearlessly in defense of their land and will intelligently respond to any foolishness. The words that he chose, the way he said it, intelligently respond, and of course the foolishness is response to how Israel did indeed retaliate. Do you believe that Iran will retaliate to this response?
Well, the even if he did talk about this issue of intelligently retaliate, or we've seen throughout these past 45 years that Iran acts wisely. It does not behave emotionally, something we've seen a lot in our region, many politicians taking decisions just out of passion and out of revenge and out of hatred. Now look at the Israelis and their strikes against areas that are only civilian areas. They are only building, hitting residential buildings, and so they are not able to achieve anything other than to make the Lebanese hate them more, and to make a new generation of martyrs and fighters ready to fight for them, because of the massacres and the genocide that they are perpetrating in Gaza and in Lebanon. But whereas when it comes to the Islamic Republic of Iran, no, you have the things as if measured steps and decisions taken, measured as if with a balance of that you use to weigh gold. You have to take the right decision because you are in a very delicate time when it comes to the region itself, when it comes to the world also. Now the world order is in a phase of a sort of, you will, transitory phase of moving from unilateral polarity of the United States into a multipolar world when you have several powers such as China, Russia, and probably one day Iran also in our region, and probably at the international level. So the whole world is changing. Our region is also in the pangs of a new birth. That's why the importance of this battle, because it will determine the fate of our region at least for over 10 years in the future. Who the side that will be the winner in this confrontation is the one that will prove that it is the one able and has the capability to survive in this region.
Do you believe the response by Israel to Iran came before the elections in this limited matter to simply get it out of the way before, as we know, the elections are coming up at the beginning of next month? Was it simply just a way to push it out that we got it done with?
Well, I had this analysis.
Which we love
personal.
To hear.
Yes. Thank you. It was at the time following the blows, starting with the pagers issue and the walkie-talkie, and then the assassination of major leaders, and culminating into the assassination of our major loss here, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, Secretary General of Hezbollah. I think this made the Americans even change their mind, as you know. First, it was their conviction that Israel cannot engage in a confrontation with Hezbollah, and they were saying this honestly and advising the Israelis not to engage in a ground campaign. But following these blows, I think even the Americans changed their mind and thought that, okay, maybe Hezbollah is now weaker and maybe Israel can take some advances. That's why I think they gave the green light to the ground attack to start, and they were, of course, were supporting with means you cannot even imagine. And some reports even talk about that it is the Israelis' ability is much limited. I mean, they don't have pilots to launch all these campaigns and raids all over Lebanon and sometimes in Syria and wherever they want. So these reports indicate that American pilots are also participating in these raids. So the Americans changed their mind. They gave the green light, and all the needed equipment, as he said, Netanyahu and the Congress, and for him to do the job. But here comes the importance of the steadfastness that we saw by the resistance fighters of the South and South Lebanon, that changed all the equations, and even had the Americans change their mind for the second time that it is impossible, as we all can see, for the Israelis to achieve any change. It is imagined the weakness in the ranks of Hezbollah was not true, as we see with the rockets and missiles continue to be fired, with the control and command leadership that is still there, and all the coordinated activity that is taking place. So all their dreams also crumbled, the Israelis and the Americans. And that's why I think now they have resorted back to the diplomatic and political course that we saw with the meeting of Mikati with Blinken, and that we talked, so I said we're going to mention this later, as for Hochstein's visit to Tel Aviv,
of
which
course.
Some people say that if they had successful talks, then probably he would move also to Lebanon. Now Hochstein would not come to Lebanon if the Israelis did not demand that, if the Israelis did not say that enough is enough and we cannot take any more, in spite of all what they are claiming in the media and the image they are trying to portray about themselves, that they are still able to fight for years. And so we know the Israelis and their capabilities and their ability to steadfast we know it all too well, and they cannot take, especially if you take into account also the economic impact on all that is going taking place right now, not only on the northern part of occupied Palestine, but now has extended to the middle, to center of the country, that is Tel Aviv and Gush Dan, which are the most important economic, and Haifa, most important parts of the occupied entity.
Yes. Well, we are going to be actually talking about this point in just a moment. I do want to go a little bit back to the Israeli response on Iran and how the Westerners actually responded to it. We have the White House who actually said that their attack was, they warned Tehran of consequences should they respond. And also the U.S. National Security Council spokesman said that Washington was aware of the strikes by its ally, their ally, but they did not participate, describing Israeli operation as an exercise of self-defense. Again, this statement that we continue to hear in their media, is it just something that's become a norm? Do they actually believe that anyone continues to believe it?
Well, they keep lying even if they realize, and I think they realize that nobody believes them anymore. Because we are to talk international law now.
Yes.
You had the first aggression taking place by the Israeli occupation against the Islamic Republic of Iran through the assassination of late martyr Ismail Haniyeh in Tehran. And according to the international law, when you have a country attacking another country on its soil, the targeted country has the right to retaliate. So this is what the international law states. So it was the act of the Iranians that was in line with the international law.
Yes.
Now this second act, which the Americans are calling it retaliation, is the illegal act. But of course, they will not stop saying this. When they had the Israelis committing the genocide in occupied Palestine and Gaza, and they went on saying that it was an act of self-defense, will always help Israel defend itself, and they claimed that they have no reason to believe that Israel was targeting civilians deliberately. So they were, I think, very insolent when it came to just fooling or trying to fool the audience or insulting the intelligence of anyone who hears their statements.
Exactly. Actually, some people, again, we're going back to social media, have described the expression of self-defense as a $2 billion warplane dropping a $40,000 missile on a $100 tent or a few $1,000 apartment, etc. So this is how people have concluded the idea of so-called self-defense.
Yes, you're right. It's very clear that it is not asymmetric. It is not proportional. But still, the Americans insist that it is. Look, you have also to criticize. A lot of countries. We have over 150 countries in the UN. The silence of all these countries. We know that the Americans are able to exercise intimidation on some countries and all pressure others through threatening them with sanctions and so. But there are many countries that do not need the Americans and they don't need their protection or whatever. So this we are facing, I think, at the international level, a human crisis when it comes to the values on when to talk, when to criticize, when to defend the unjust, the oppressed, and so on. That makes those people who are doing the normal things, such as Hezbollah, for example, when it supported the Gazans, the Islamic Republic, when it politically supported the Palestinians against the genocide, they come as something out of the norm, something that is not the normal, whereas this is the normal thing that should take place. Now, if you are just passing by the street and you saw a weak boy that is being hit by a stronger man, of course you just try to stop the stronger.
Exactly.
This is
it's our
out
humanity,
of humanity.
In the
yes.
End, yes.
So this is lack of human values, I think, is a major crisis that we are facing at the international level.
Well, before I do go ahead and move over to how the international community is responding to what's happening in Gaza, I do want to go back to the point that you were talking about Amos Hochstein's visit to Tel Aviv. What do you believe he might bring, and do you believe he might be visiting Lebanon soon?
Well, if you go back also to this issue that I talked about, when they thought that after these issues of the strikes that the Israelis target with which the Israelis targeted Hezbollah, and
Yes.
The illusion that Hezbollah is weakened, Hochstein came here just trying to impose some conditions on the implementation of 1701,
Yes.
that is, Israel has the right to come whenever it wants to Lebanon and strike here or there.
With
and
a little
so,
few extra
yes,
conditions,
but
yeah.
this all stemming from the illusion that Hezbollah is weak now. Has weakened now, but with the what's taking place in the southern front, and here I reiterate the importance of the steadfastness of these resistance people who are really making history for not only our country and region, but rather for the world. Because I had today one commentator who's not affiliated with Hezbollah or the, if you will, the Shia Muslims, and
yes.
so she was saying that what is taking place here in southern Lebanon is to be taught in military academics, academies all over the world
yes.
in the future, because you have around 70,000 soldiers, Israeli soldiers, and they are being confronted and prevented from advancing by a few hundreds. And this is really something that is really not normal. So what is taking place here, has it changed the Americans, or are they going to try to use some more time? Has the steadfastness made the Americans sure that the Israelis will not be able to make any advances? Plus, has the Israeli daily bombardment of civilian areas just proven to be futile and not able to change anything in the will and determination of the resistance people and resistance leadership? Is now this the conviction of the American administration or not? This has to be seen through this visit.
Yes.
And also we have to understand from the response that if he comes to Lebanon, if this is also there is a change in the Israeli minds as well.
Well, Mr. Mohammed, I continue to hear you say that Americans, if it has made them change their opinion, etc. We do know about Netanyahu. For everyone who's ever followed the news, it seems that he's on basically another level than when we talk about the Americans and the Israelis. Sometimes we see him in another world of himself. Do you believe if the Americans do indeed see what is the best, for example, maybe a diplomatic solution for the situation, do you believe that he will agree?
Well, someone was writing something that he, in order to come out of the dilemma of stubbornness of Netanyahu and the Americans being convinced that he's no longer able to achieve anything, mm-hmm. he proposed that probably the Americans would assassinate him.
Uh-huh.
So this is that much. I mean, of course, this is just an opinion.
Yes.
But it's as such, Netanyahu is living in a different reality than ours.
Exactly.
But if your enemy wants just to keep hitting his head with the wall, okay, let him keep doing so. I mean, for the Lebanese, they are used to this, unfortunately, because of their neighbor, this horrible neighbor that we've had for over 70 years. We've had a history of massacres and the bombardment and so, and they cling to the resistance that was able to do the minimum of protection for them in the period between 2006 and 2004. The Israelis did not dare to launch any aggression against Lebanon, and this is only due to the presence of the resistance and the deterrence balance that the resistance created.
Well, we are going to move over a bit to Gaza. As you did mention earlier in the show, the extermination and genocide does continue there. And when I said I want to talk a bit about how the international community is actually talking about it, we have the UN special reporter on the occupied Palestinian territory said that the entire population of Gaza is at risk of dying in a genocide that has been announced and executed under our watch. In addition, we have EU's top diplomat has called for global action to end the human tragedy unfolding in Gaza. We all know that this is a human tragedy. We all know why the resistance in every statement that they issue. It says, in solidarity with our brothers in Palestine, in the resistance in Palestine. It seems at the moment, and as always, resistance are the ones who have always stood next to them. Again, this is something the UN saying it, the EU's diplomats are saying it. This making no difference. And do you believe there will any, there will ever be any action from these so-called human rights people?
Well, it's a different situation. Sometimes saying alone would just be only serving the Israeli enemy as well. Because if you keep saying this, I mean, for the EU officials and the UN officials keep saying that the Israelis are perpetrating genocide or massacres or whatever, and the Israelis realize that the Americans are always there to protect them from any resolutions, from any sanctions, etc. So they say, okay, let them keep on saying this. So sometimes just saying is not enough. Why don't you impose sanctions on this entity? Do you know that the Israeli goods and merchandise goes into European countries with no custom fees, anything, just as if they are moving within the same entity itself? So they are providing the Israelis as if they are rewarding this entity for all the massacres and the crimes that it has been doing for over 70 years. So if you just stop talking a little bit and do have some action a little bit more, probably you will have something to stop what you are criticizing right now.
Well, again, of course, Mr. Mohammed, as you mentioned there, these so-called organizations who have been put from world leaders to protect the human rights are still invisible, are still silent, and still have not carried out any action. So in assistance to the resistance, could everyday people do something for their part?
You mean inside Lebanon or outside?
Anywhere in the world, Westerners or inside of Lebanon, to stand with the people in Palestine.
Yes, each one could just make, even it may seem a little bit, a little role. For instance, if you are in a Western country, you can tell your the people that your constituencies chose that we are not going to elect you anymore if you keep supporting Israel. And we know that the Israelis and the Israeli lobbies are very keen on controlling congresses and parliaments and the media and the economic circles. So they know the important joints of a country and they control them. Now for the people, they can at least say no to the to these people whom they voted and they are helping the massacre perpetrators all the way. Now you can talk about the economic boycott. A lot of people right now are boycotting any Israeli and any American goods, and this is proving,
and it's making a difference.
Yes, it's making a difference, and some figures are being leaking as for the losses by American companies and American corporations. So each one of us can think whatever. It's probably you can draw something and publish it on the social media. So each one can think of a way where he can help this injustice, help stop this injustice that is being imposed on these oppressed people, and think of a way to help them, and they can come up with something, I'm sure.
Well, when it comes again to the International Court, and since we were speaking about Netanyahu, on Friday, actually, the International Criminal Court said that it had replaced one of the judges deciding on a prosecution request for an arrest warrant for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and it was on health grounds, basically, that he was removed, and this could lead to further delays in the case. This is not something new for us, to be honest.
It's something fishy.
Yes.
Look, we've seen our experiences with the International Court. We've never seen them targeting anyone that is close to the Westerners. Never.
Yeah.
And especially we here in Lebanon, we've seen, had a very dramatic experience with them, with the International Court dealing with the assassination of late Prime Minister Hariri.
Yes.
They were having it politicized and targeted the way the Western powers wanted it. So I don't think nobody bought them in the first place when they were talking about the issuing arrest warrants and the Israelis were worried and so. But you gain something, at least at the media level, at the information level, when it comes to the world, that these are real criminals. International courts are pursuing them because they are criminals. Even if the arrest warrants were not issued, but still this stamp has been made, and these people are now known to be all over the world that they are criminals.
Well, there is a say, as we all know, that Netanyahu, when his time is up, he's supposed to be persecuted in his own entity.
Yes.
Do you believe we can actually see this happen with how everything has occurred internationally according to law?
Well, some observers believe that even his prolongation of the war is due to his fear of being taken to court and being prosecuted, in his entity's court. But I think, no, this is a minor thing because as we see, the American administration that has strengths that can control all over the world, they can have a way in order to convince him, if they wanted really the wars to stop, they could convince the court and his entity to stop any pursuits against them, and they can talk to the opposition leaders that are requesting this to join even so-called national unity governments in order to stop the war. So once again, you have to try to understand what the Americans are really convinced of and what the Americans do really now want, and who is orchestrating really the action now. Is it the American administration or is it the Israelis who are imposing and using very smartly this delicate period in the American political arena as for the elections within 2 weeks?
Yes.
And they are really utilizing this in order to get gains to Israel and to Netanyahu himself.
Well, one more question related to Netanyahu that I have to ask you. As we have seen in history, you mentioned earlier in the show, there's an opinion that if the Americans are perhaps not pleased with Netanyahu, it could be an attempt assassination or an assassination, excuse me, on his life. An opinion, yes, from what we read all the time on social media and other media outlets. History has shown us that sometimes when people are unpleased with their leader, for example, sometimes they themselves have killed him or dragged him through streets, as we have seen in certain countries through history. Where do you see, or what do you see the end of Netanyahu? I mean, is he going to remain in the power? Is he going to be persecuted? Where do you think his end of his days will be?
A lot of people believe that the Israeli entity, the occupation entity, no longer has the so-called kings of Israel, that they used to be the important leaders, such as the major criminal Ariel Sharon,
yes,
who committed massacres. But unfortunately, Netanyahu can come out to his people and say, I'm the one who assassinated Hassan Nasrallah, I'm the one who attacked Iran, I'm the one who assassinated Ismail Haniyeh, I'm the one who killed 40,000, and they are very pleased. And this tells you something about the nature of the occupier settlers.
Yes.
I'm the one who killed over 40,000 civilian Palestinians. So, sort of becoming another one of the kings of Israel, one way or another, but unfortunately, through blood and through massacres and genocide. But still, you know, when their competition and competing against one another is very fierce, you don't know what kind of weapons his opponents will be using against him. But once again, when the Americans, who are able to orchestrate anything, they can have this side or that side come, and this side taking or not taking action against the other side. So it's all up to what the American, basically what we call the deep state in the United States, really wants for the region. Has it reached the time when it's convinced that it is not able to have any changes when it comes to the strength of the resistance axis? I mean, Lebanon, Gaza, Yemen, Iraq, and all the countries that are supporting the right of the Palestinians in their own land? Or is it still hoping that more fight, more massacres will produce any results? So we have to wait and see a little bit to see what the Americans really want.
Well, in the lead-in, we did mention from Yadiel Ahmanot that the Mossad chief is to leave for Qatar for the captives deal talk. As we know, the Americans and Qatar have, they're trying to restart these ceasefire agreements in Gaza. But just for the viewers who have not been following the situation from over a year ago, these so-called ceasefire deal or talks, they're simply, some people are describing them as camouflage for the media, for the situation to continue.
Yes,
do you agree?
You're right, because the Americans cannot take all the pressure from even from demonstrators in the United States, as especially for the case of Kamala Harris, potentials and chances of getting to be elected. But we've seen in many experiences that it was not the the Americans were not that serious when it came to this. And we've seen this even when they promised, I think, the Iranians that if they do not retaliate to the assassination of Martyr Ismail Haniyeh, that we'll have a ceasefire in Gaza. So the Americans are just doing whatever they can and using whatever plans they can in order to give the Israelis more time to perpetrate more massacres. And the proof to this is that the supply of arms and ammunition never stopped from the United States. And if it stops, by the way, believe me, for 24 hours or 48 hours, the whole war would stop, because all the stores of the Israelis are now empty because of the usage of a lot of ammunition.
Well, in that case, why doesn't the U.S. stop?
Because it's still hoping that its project here in the region will at some time be successful in regaining this image of being the deterrent force, the thug of the region, if you will, through which it can control directly or indirectly the region. So that's why whenever we saw the real threat of attacks against the Israelis, how we saw the Americans and their allies and NATO and everybody rushing to try to protect this Western project in our region.
Well, I do have to ask you, Mr. Mohammed, that what we're seeing in the U.S., we have Kamala Harris and we have Donald Trump, which we have previously already had a taste of him basically as president. I'm not going to relate it to the world, as we know there's many issues going on with Ukraine, Russia and other countries, but simply with the war in Lebanon and Gaza and with the Israeli entity itself, do you believe one of them at the moment could be better perhaps for the future of the area?
Well, it is my belief that this policy concerning our region and also vis-à-vis China and Russia and so is not determined by the President of the United States, but rather by this deep state that is controlling all the important junctures in the state. So, but by the way, there is no difference that much in when it between them. I can take you back to the debate that took place between Kamala Harris and Trump.
Yes.
And they were both competing to show who supports Israel
exactly,
more.
Pro-Israel,
if you
yeah.
go back to all the statements of that you may label as slightly criticizing Israel for the number of civilians that is not acceptable by Kamala Harris, but always she always ends them with for the right of Israel to defend itself. And as you mentioned earlier, this issue of self-defense is just a sort of a camouflage for doing whatever they want and killing as many civilians as they want. So I don't think there is any difference between the two candidates, especially when it comes to the issue of Israel. And second, it is not the president that determines such strategic issues of supporting this entity or trying to minimize the support to this entity. It is rather these cartels of oil and arms and so that control really the country in the United States.
Well, I believe we have around one and a half minutes left, if not two. I do have to ask you, according to the latest polls in the U.S., we have seen Donald Trump made his statements that if he does or when he does become president, what he's going to do on regards to immigration, he's going to round everyone up, put them in concentration camps and kick them out of the country. And despite this, we still see polls with Arab Americans favoring Donald Trump. I mean, isn't this a bit, what's the significance of this or how do you see it?
Well, sometimes, you know, the Arab Americans are just the part of the community, of the American community as a whole, that is labeled as the white Americans, you
yes.
see. So this is, and you know, this is the majority of the white Americans are do support the Republicans and Trump. Plus, the Arabs did not find any difference between, of course, he made some major things such as assassinating late martyr Qasem Soleimani and moving the embassy to Al-Quds and also recognizing the annexation of the Golan Heights. But when it comes to Harris and the Democrats, they were doing the same but without proclaiming it. So the difference is not that major, plus the fact that I mentioned earlier that it is not the person of the president that determines the real strategic policies of the United States, especially when it comes to foreign affairs.
Exactly. Well, I do want to end off today's show, as we do have a few more minutes added, actually, to, as we know, we're from Beirut to Lebanon. The situation in Lebanon is basically, at nighttime is when everything shows. The air raids that happen, the news basically booms at night. Mr. Muhammad, according to you, in your expertise, from what we have seen, do you see this war prolonging more than it already has?
Personally, I'm a little bit optimistic because I read the facts that, as I said, if they want to keep hitting their head with the wall, okay, let them do it.
Yes.
But let's hope wisdom prevail a little bit, and we do hope the stopping of killing these civilians, all these civilians, because enough is enough. I mean, the world should have a say in this, should shout out that enough is enough. But you have to keep in mind this 20-25 something percentage of the stupidity of this enemy to keep going on.
When you mention the stability of the enemy, what do you mean exactly? Could you
elaborate?
The stupidity, yes. Do you believe this percentage comes straight from Netanyahu himself or from his generals and soldiers? What I mean is, a lot of time in the media when we're watching, we have seen the spokesperson for the Israeli entities, a military, mention that we have no more targets and it seems the war is going to be ending soon. No. And then we have Netanyahu who goes and speaks to the French press saying it's continuing, it's the beginning.
Yeah, they are keen on not showing any differences. So this is one of the few rare cases. And you can also talk about a statement made 2 days ago also by the chief of staff saying that we can just end the confrontation and the war in Lebanon because we killed the leadership of Hezbollah. I mean, as if he's supplying Netanyahu with a ladder to come down the tree. So one way or another, it's telling him, okay, enough is enough. My army cannot take it anymore.
Exactly.
But usually these differences do not surface, but in rare cases they do. So we'll have to wait and see who will prevail, who will the craziness of Ben Kfir and those who want to have settlements, by the way, in South Lebanon and in Gaza, or is it some voice of wisdom, if any, is left amongst these settlers and occupiers to stop the bloodshed?
Well, with that, I'm afraid my time has run out. I'd like to thank you very much, Mr. Muhammad Abed, a political analyst.
Thank you, always my pleasure.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for watching this episode. Until tomorrow, goodbye.